By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azzadil, you are watching Rise and Shine. Let's, inshallah, Azzadil, begin with the recitation of the glorious Quran. We are listening to Surah Al-Kahf. And this surah is phenomenal, my viewers. We have completed the first story. So within Surah Al-Kahf, the story of the cave, that is the chapter of the cave, there are various, you can say, story anecdotes within this chapter of the Quran. One of those, no doubt, is about the people of the cave. And that's why it's known as the chapter of the cave, Surah Al-Kahf. And this particular story about those beautiful, pious individuals who, you know, remained in this cave. And I've been told, if you were to go to Oman, some people claim that the cave is there. If you were to go to Syria, some people claim the cave is there. If you were to go to Jordan, some people claim that the cave is there. Allahu A'lam. Remember, Allahu A'lam. But it's said that from amongst all of these, we find that the closest to the description given within the glorious Quran is that of the one in Jordan. Why was it that I'm saying this? The reason I was mentioning this is because sometimes we do have many people making claims. So we need to be careful. But all of these places, wherever we go to, we show respect because it is possible. Remember, it's been possibly thousands of years. Nevertheless, the point being, my dear viewers, the Surah Al-Kahf, this beautiful story, is in a way you could say complete. And inshallah, I'm not sure, will we be beginning the next story? Will we not? Let's listen to the Quran, inshallah, and we shall find out from there. Please do make good intentions, because the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain. Our actions are based upon intentions. And also make the intention, inshallah, to show respect to the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, yes, to listen to the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, to try to learn, because it's the Urdu translation along with it, inshallah, to try to learn from this, and if any orders, etc. are given, then to be able to act upon these, inshallah. My dear viewers, let's move to the tilawat of the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru, jo nihayat meherban, rahm wala.
قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض.
تم فرماؤ، اللہ خوب جانتا ہے وہ جتنا ٹھہرے، اسی کے لیے ہیں آسمانوں اور زمین کے سب غیب.
ابصر به واسمع.
وہ کیا ہی دیکھتا اور کیا ہی سنتا ہے.
ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه احدا.
اس کے سوا ان کا کوئی والی نہیں اور وہ اپنے حکم میں کسی کو شریک نہیں کرتا.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِن كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ.
اور تلاوت کرو جو تمہارے رب کی کتاب تمہیں وحی ہوئی.
لا مبدل لکلماتہ.
اس کی باتوں کا کوئی بدلنے والا نہیں.
ولن تجد من دونہ ملتحدا.
اور ہرگز تم اس کے سوا پناہ نہ پاؤ گے.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم ب بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم.
اور اپنی جان ان سے مانوس رکھو جو صبح و شام اپنے رب کو پکارتے ہیں, اس کی رضا چاہتے, اور تمہاری آنکھیں انہیں چھوڑ کر اور پر نہ پڑیں.
تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا,
کیا تم دنیا کی زندگی کا سنگار یعنی زینت چاہو گے.
ولا تطع من اغفل قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان امره فرطا.
اور اس کا کہا نہ مانو جس کا دل ہم نے اپنی یاد سے غافل کر دیا اور وہ اپنی خواہش کے پیچھے چلا اور اس کا کام حد سے گزر گیا.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِن رَبِّكُمْ فَمَن شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِن وَمَن شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُر.
اور فرما دو کہ حق تمہارے رب کی طرف سے ہے, تو جو چاہے ایمان لائے اور جو چاہے کفر کرے.
اِنَّا اَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا اَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا.
بے شک ہم نے ظالموں کے لیے وہ آگ تیار کر رکھی ہے جس کی دیواریں انہیں گھیر لیں گی.
وَإِن يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهَ.
اور اگر پانی کے لیے فریاد کریں تو ان کی فریاد رسی ہوگی اس پانی سے کہ چرخ دیے یعنی پگھلے ہوئے دھات کی طرح ہے کہ ان کے منہ بھون یعنی جلا دے گا.
بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا.
کیا ہی برا پینا اور دوزخ کیا ہی بری ٹھہرنے کی جگہ.
ان الذین آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات انا لا نضیع اجر من احسن عملا.
بے شک جو ایمان لائے اور نیک کام کیے ہم ان کے نیک یعنی اجر ضائع نہیں کرتے جن کے کام اچھے ہوں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ عزوجل, we just listen to the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. Yes, Surah Al-Kahf that was. We have completed the chapter of the people of the cave. And very soon, well, sorry, not the entire chapter. I said we have completed the chapter. We've not completed the entire chapter, but the story within the chapter has been completed. My bad. Nevertheless, there are a few stories within this. And the next story is also a phenomenal and amongst my favorite stories and one of the favorites. See, it's difficult to say favorite because mashallah, the Quran is so beautiful. There's one thing to point out, my devas. In fact, this is today's topic too, the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. So I hope to mention this later. I hope I don't forget this. Inshallah, we will try to mention this very soon later, inshallah, azza wa jal. Because today's topic, yes, is today's topic is the Quran as a means, a source of guidance. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem is a book of guidance. Yes, Al-Quran Al-Kareem is a book of guidance for each and every single one of us. It was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was given to reveal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't say that it's a book of guidance for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please do remember this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no doubt guided Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all mankind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all mankind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before he was given the revelation, remember he was always a prophet of Allah. So some people think he's a prophet is, you know, he's only the prophet of Allah when they're given the revelation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself tells us in a hadith that I was a prophet. When was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a prophet? He says, at that time, when Hazrat Adam alayhi sallam was yet between bain ar-ruh, his soul, wal jasad, and the body. You know, when he was at this stage. This is the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Nabi, a prophet. Remember, this is one reason why we say that he is the first and the last. Wal awwal wal akhir. He's the first and he's the last. He's the first prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of being a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, because the nur, and this is slightly going to into another topic, but the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the first of creation. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, in a way, you could say, the first of creation, meaning the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in terms of human form, of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came after. He was from the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first man. He's the father. He's also the first prophet in terms of creation. In terms of creation, he's the first man. He's the first prophet sent to the world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it I have said this? Allahu Akbar. I can't remember exactly. Yes, in fact, now it's come to my mind that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we were speaking about the revelation, that this is guidance. It's not guidance for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Remember this, he was always a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no doubt the prophets of Allah, another thing, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ma'soom. They are ma'soom. And this, from men, this is from mankind, this is specific only for the prophets. And then, yes, the angels too. But from mankind, there's nobody else is ma'soom. This is something we must understand. And yes, this is not disrespectful to anybody else. No, if we say the companions are not ma'soom, this is not disrespectful to the companions. No doubt, maybe be given death before we disrespect any of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, the companions of Rasulullah, it doesn't matter which companion it is. It doesn't matter whether it's from the very own family even of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It could be his own children, his own sons, his own daughters. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's own sons had passed away at a very, very young age. But the daughters did live, alhamdulillah, to grow up and even marry and have children, etc., etc. Radhiyallahu anhum, or hunna for the daughters. So even, let's just say, the daughters, even the relatives, the cousins of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the beloved wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the Ahlul Bayt. Even the closest or the greatest of all the companions, the greatest of all the companions, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. We don't say any of these were ma'soom. We don't say this. No, this is specific to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels too. Not angels do not have free will, but humans, they have free will. And the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ma'soom. Ma'soom is a technical term, and it literally means it's impossible. Or shall I say, the meaning, the technical meaning is that it is impossible for them to commit sin. Remember this. They are completely free. They are infallible. These are the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is only for the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions, no, they're not. The family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no, they're not. Although they're great, they are so great, my dear viewers of Mandani Channel, that, and yes, I give this example regularly, and it's so true, that the dust below their feet, below their sandals, below the animals upon which they ride, is greater than us. This is the greatness of, subhanAllah, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But remember, there's a limit for everything. For Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a limit too. He's, yes, we can praise and praise and praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there is a limit. He is from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot praise him more than, there's limits, isn't there? And to praise him even more is, in fact, disrespect to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not wish this. This is against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or to say that anybody is a partner, mazallah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a child, mazallah, is completely impossible for God to have a child. So things like this are, in fact, disrespect to those people who we claim about, or who some people claim about, shall I say. So remember, no, there's a limit for everything. Same with the companions. Yes, we love them, we respect them. The Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his very close in a way you can say, he's the greatest of all the companions, the close ones, the Ashab al-Sufa, whoever they may be, all of the great companions. They're all very, very, you know, they're beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we do not say they are masoom. Allahu Akbar. And again, coming back to our point, that this book, the Al-Quran, we keep coming from here and then we're going off to a tangent and then returning back to this. These are important beliefs, so we must understand this, and this is why I try to point such things out. Yes, the Al-Quran Al-Kareem is a source of guidance for who? Not for the prophets. I'm not going to say anything else than that because they'll go towards something else. Not for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a source of guidance for us, my dear viewers. It's a source of guidance for those who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a source of guidance for the Muslims. Yes, it is a source of guidance for the Muslims. It is also a source of guidance for the rest of mankind. It is a source of guidance for non-Muslims. And we've seen this many times too. If they are to open up and read it, this has a beautiful, just listening to it has a beautiful, and we've seen this many times. Let's first move to the Nashif, inshallah. And in fact, we'll begin by speaking about this. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem is today's topic, a source of guidance, that is. My dear viewers, let's listen to the Nashif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, and the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi وعلى آله وسلم
مصطفى 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 يا رسول الله مصطفى يا رسول الله میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو تو توفیق دے زندگی میں ایسی ایک نعت لکھنے کی یا رب مجھ کو توفیق دے زندگی میں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کی زلفوں کی خوشبو سونگھاؤں ان کے قدموں کی آہٹ بتا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے وہ میری شاعری میرا فن ہے میں سخن ہوں وہ جان سخن ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی کا دیا ہے اپنا سب کچھ انہی پر لوٹا دوں میرے لفظوں میں شمس و ضحا میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا مشعل مدحت مصطفیٰ مشعل حامد حسین مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں، قافلے جا رہے ہیں مدینے اور حسرت سے میں تک رہا ہوں، یا علی پٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے، یا علی پٹ جاؤں قدموں سے ان کے، یا قضا کو پھر اپنی صدا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ، مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، میری بخشش کا سامان یہی ہے، میرے دل کا بھی ارماں یہی ہے، میری بخشش ساما یہی ہے، میرے دل کا بھی ارما یہی ہے، ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر، ایک دن ان کے روزے پہ جا کر، ان کی نعتیں انہیں کو سنا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو، مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ ہو، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب، پہ کرے اسوہِ مصطفیٰ میں، ہے تمنا کے ڈھل جاؤں یا رب، پہ کرے اسوہِ مصطفیٰ میں، مسکراؤں اگر سنگ بر سے، مسکراؤں اگر سنگ بر سے، ہر برے کو بھلی سے دعا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں، کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری، حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے، کاش آئے جب ان کی سواری، حدیب ان کے قدموں کے نیچے، کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر، کھینچ کر روح کو تن سے باہر، اس کی چادر بنا کر بچھا دوں، میرے لفظوں میں شمس و دوحا ہے، میرے لہجے میں بدر و دجا، مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ، مشعلِ مدحتِ مصطفیٰ، ہر اندھیرے کو میں جگمگا دوں،
صلی علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, the rank, the honor, the greatness and magnificence of the greatest. Yes, he is the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds. But his true brilliance, his true madhibuzum, inshallah, rank that is, inshallah, on the Day of Judgment we shall see. Allahu Akbar. The honor Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam has in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rank, the imam of the prophets, of all of the prophets, that is, all of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the master, all of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, inshaAllah azza wa jal, may Allah ta'ala grant us death with iman. This is very, very important. Because remember, this is a condition. This is a condition for anybody's entrance into Jannah. For a person to enter Jannah, the condition is iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness in this world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in steadfastness, meaning in our religion, in our deen in this world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He does grant us death with iman, inshallah, inshallah, in the blessed month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, inshallah, azza wa jal. My dear viewers, you know, it's a time of social media. So what many people do is they, much of our knowledge which we attain now, because it's so easy, it's, you know, our phones, most of the time phones, because they're in our pocket, always with us. Anything we wish to ask, immediately we'll turn to our phones, we'll get a quick answer. Or many times we're watching videos, whether the social media, most of the time that is. We're watching videos, and this is our means of seeking information, our means of learning, gaining, seeking knowledge. This is what, this is for many people. Remember, firstly, because Al-Quran Al-Kareem, no doubt, is a book. Okay, so firstly, remember, it is very, very important for us to read books in general. For us to read books is very, very important. And some people think that, you know, now we have social media. You know, people watch videos. There's one thing you must understand, that what you can learn from books, you cannot learn from videos. Videos is, okay, for a simple question answer, to learn a little, maybe to get a brief overview of something, that's fine, a video is fine. But if you really wish to learn about something, you must read books. This is what we must understand. If you really wish to learn, to truly learn, not just get an overview, and sometimes think, oh yes, I've watched a video of that, and within 10 minutes, they've summed up an entire book. If they've summed up an entire book within 10 minutes, then how much have they done? And that's what a summary is. It's very, very brief, which means so much of it is taken out. So firstly, we must read books. It's very, very important to read books. Now, when we have books, and this is the best, the source for information, books. The scholars, they read books. They must read books. You know, it's very difficult to be a scholar without reading a book. And I've not said it's impossible, but I've said it's very difficult. And there's a reason for this, because alhamdulillah, we have the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants it to some people. And yes, there are people who have been granted it. They do not need to open a book. But that's exceptional. Allahu a'lam, may Allah ta'ala grant it to me and you, but that's very, very unlikely, my dear viewers. That's exceptional. But what we need to do is read books. We need to read, we need to learn. That we can only do by reading books. Now, there are many books. There are all kinds of books, all types of books. There are many genres. There are many different subjects, many different sciences, even single little minor topics. Whatever you think of, there'll be books based on that. There'll be books written. Even biographies, books written about individuals, books written about people. There are so many books. But from all of literature, from all of the books written, and remember, there are so many books, yes, in the English language, and there are so many in other languages too, nearly every other language. There are millions and millions of books without exception. I recently heard there were a group of people, and what they did was, the books which people would throw out, they collected all of them books. And they had like, I don't know how many million or so books. They built a library now. People go to that library. Allahu Akbar. There's just so many books, my dear. There was so many subjects, so many topics. Now from all of these books, They've been written by who? They've been written by mankind. They've been written by, you know, me, you, people like us. People like us are possibly more intelligent than us, let's just say. They've been written by intellectuals, all sorts of people they've been written by. Now, all of this which has been written, it has been written by who? By people. It wasn't jinns that came and wrote it. Ghosts. No, written by people. Now, people, overall people, general people, how much is our knowledge? How much knowledge do we have? Yes, there are some people with so much knowledge, but how much can a person attain? And then they write books. How good is book? And there's so much literature which is fake, which is, as you would say, rubbish. And the person who has, well, in fact, I don't wish to get to that person. There's one person who's written the, you know, the most fiction. There's so much fiction, isn't there? There's so much fiction out there. And what is fiction? Fiction is all fantasies, made up. It's in a way rubbish. Of course, there are things you could possibly learn from them. But meaning they're fake, they're not real, they're not based on real incidents. Nothing is real from it. Now, again, so many books written by people. And these people who have written these books, how knowledgeable are they? No matter how knowledgeable they may be, there is some sort of limit. There is some sort of limit. And yes, books have been written on all sorts of topics. Books to guide people, people who are depressed, to aid them, people who may have addictions. I recently came across gambling. Gambling addictions, my dear viewers. This is, and I've been told that it affects ladies or women more. Allahu alam. I think men just as much, but Allahu alam, so the statistics, it said women have been affected because it's so easy now, it's so accessible. That people do it from the very own phones. They do not need to go into casinos or anything. And people are wasting so much money. And by so much money, some people would be thinking maybe they're wasting thousands of pounds. I'm not referring to thousands of pounds. There's one lady who mentioned over about 70 or 80,000 pounds debt she's in. Another said hundreds and thousands. And these people, their relationships have been broken with their, whether it be with their siblings, with their parents, with their own children, with their own children, with their own spouses. Gambling addiction. And as I was saying, there's various books, and there's books to help those sort of people. There's books to help all kinds of people. If there's general topics, you know, whatever topic you wish to read on, philosophy, Islamic books, fiqh, if you wish to read on Hadith Sharif, if you wish to read about the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, there's so many books. Now remember, all of these books, my dear viewers, inshallah, they were written by people, and these people, their knowledge is limited. But the book, when I say the book, many of us know what I'm referring to. Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the Quran. The Quran, my dear viewers, inshallah, is that book which was not written by any man. It was revealed to the greatest of man. It was revealed to the greatest of all mankind. And it was sent by whom? It was sent by who? By the creator of all of the worlds. By he who is Alim. He who is all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the worlds. And look at the beauty around us. It's been millions, you could say possibly of years, easily tens of thousands of years. And yet there's so many things we've still not discovered and not even learnt about. And yet there are so many things we don't even understand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all the possible, knows all the impossible too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. He has knowledge of everything. He is ala kulli shayin qadir. He has power over all things. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this and sent this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that this is a book of guidance. What could possibly match? First, we're just looking at this. Who it was given by? It was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned, Hudan lil muttaqeen. This book is a source of guidance. I have many more verses, inshallah, which we shall be mentioning. But the point being, it is a source of guidance. So firstly, can anything match this? No, nothing could match this book, the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. But then some people, you know, maybe there are some people who are not believers. There may be some people who are not believers. And to them, within the Qur'an itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon them within the Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem itself. And it says, okay, there may be some people who have doubt in the Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem. For those people that may have doubt, generally if you look at the maxims, the things, the laws we find within the Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem, absolutely perfect, brilliant. Maybe some people thinking, okay, you know, maybe it was a man that wrote it. Firstly, through history, we understand that no man could have ever wrote it. We spoke about Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu previously. You know, these people were brilliant in language. In language, they were the masters of the Arabic language. And they read it. And by reading it, they had exclaimed that this could not be written by any man, and they embraced Islam. They were the professionals, they were the best. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent out a challenge to the people. If there is anybody in doubt about the glorious Quran, whether it's been written by a man, or whether it's truly sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then okay, you have a challenge. Bring something like it. Write something as good as this. Something near to this. Bring some parts, bring some chapters. Okay, just bring a few verses like this Al-Quran Al-Kareem. You will never be able to do it. Even if you were to all get together and try to accomplish it, you'll never be able to accomplish it. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, this challenge was set out during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasn't it? 1400 or so years ago. And up until this very day, not even close has anybody come to writing anything like the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Not even close. So there's a challenge there. If you have any doubt, then bring something like it. Okay, they're not able to do that. Then, my dear viewers, and remember, if there is anybody who is looking into Islam, into the deen, into the religion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alhamdulillah, this is the greatest religion, alhamdulillah. It is the last and final. Yes, there were previous books given to previous scriptures, books and scriptures given to previous prophets, the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. There were, but then the Quran is the last and final one, and this abrogates all of the previous ones. So those who may be thinking, oh, okay, but in the Quran, honestly, there's so many things we can look into the Quran and learn. There was something, yes, just recently we came across the verse of the Quran in Surah Kahf. This was just yesterday, although there's so many examples that could be given. But one I would like to mention. In Surah Kahf, it mentions about these people, how long they were sleeping, and it mentions 300. And then it adds another 9. And with the addition of another 9 is what it states. This is paraphrasing, I'm not mentioning the recite, the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the translation of the verse. This is not the translation, this is paraphrasing. It mentions what? 300 years. And then an addition of another 9 years. Now just this itself is a miracle. Honestly, there are so many verses we could take, but because we were speaking about this chapter, we've just heard this chapter. Within this chapter, there's a miracle. 300 years. It refers to what? To the solar calendar. It could have just been 309 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention 309. 300 and plus another 9. So the 300 is correct, and 309 is also correct. If you had to go by the solar calendar, 300 is correct. If you had to go by the lunar one, then 309 is correct. It's just so beautiful. There are so many things within the glorious Quran which a person just cannot reject. The things which we have been told about within the glorious Quran. It's on a complete another level, my dear viewers. It cannot be written by any man. And this challenge has been sent out. And it can never be disproven as of yet. 1400 years have passed. Al-Quran Al-Kareem, alhamdulillahi azza. Remember, it's complete. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem is complete and it is enough for us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about the glorious Quran. He has told the companions of Rasulullah. He taught many of the companions of Rasulullah. So we have the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we have the traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran is a book of guidance. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem is a book of guidance. It's the best of all books. So there's many different things, but now inshallah we will speak about the Quran being a book of guidance. This is how it guides people. We spoke previously about the story of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He read the Quran and he was guided. And we must have heard this of many other individuals too. Let's go to the daily reminder, inshallah, and then we shall hear a beautiful story about how the Al-Quran Al-Kareem guided some individuals, inshallah. Remember, it guided many, but we shall mention now some individuals, inshallah. First, let's listen to the daily reminder. Sallu alal Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Wish for death in Medina. Sallu ala Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, Man istata'a an yamuta bil madinati falyamut biha fa inni ashfa'u liman yamutu biha. That means, whoever can die in Medina should die in it, because I will intercede for the one who dies in Medina. Commenting on the above hadith, the renowned commentator, the great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, has stated, apparently, this good news and guidance were given for all the Muslims, not for Muhajireen only. If a Muslim wishes to meet his death in Medina, he should also try to be blessed with this privilege. This is, he should reside in Medina, especially in old age, and should not go out of it unnecessarily, so that he meets his death there. However, this is only possible by the grace of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would pray, O Lord, grant me death and martyrdom in the city of your beloved. His prayer was amazingly answered. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was attacked during Salatul Fajr in the mihrab and at the praying place of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which led to his martyrdom there. Respected Mufti further stated, I have seen that some people have been living in Medina for 30 to 40 years. They do not even go out of the city of Medina, lest they meet death outside Medina. Sayyiduna Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala would also do the same thing. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of the channel, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Today, the Quran, a book of guidance. It stated there's this person by the name of Abu Hashim Sufi rahmahullahu ta'ala. Does that Abu Hashim Sufi rahmahullahu ta'ala, he himself tells us the story. He says that once what happened was this person, he wished to board a boat. He comes along and he boards his ship. There was a slave master along with his slave servant, a slave girl. And when he sat, my dear viewers, the slave girl had brought food for her, because his slave master, if you wish. And this food, when it was brought before the slave master, the slave girl and the slave master began to eat. So they invited him to come and join them and have some food to eat. And then the slave master, he ordered the slave girl to sing. He ordered the slave girl to sing and to recite, you know, poetry. So he asked her to sing a song, and as well as this, to play a musical instrument. Allahu Akbar. And this is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting there too. Now, this girl, this is what she did. She did that, and then she continued, and then she began to sing, etc., play the musical instrument. When she had completed, the man, he turned his attention to Abu Hashim Sufi rahmahullah ta'ala, and he says to him that, do you have anything like this? Anything as good as this? And he replies that, yes. He says, yes. I have something which is much better, much greater than this. The person says, okay, you do. All right, then let's hear you sing. Let's hear you read something. You recite some sort of poetry. And then this person, he began to recite Surah Takweer. And this is part 30 of the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, which states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. Just listening to those. Now, my voice is not as beautiful, but mashallah, when other people recite it much more, but just generally how I've recited it. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. Just listen, and me whilst I'm reciting, I'm thinking, wow. Now, I wish to recite the entire surah. I wish I had the entire surah in front of me. I'm not a hafiz of Quran. I don't know it by heart. But how beautiful are those verses? And I'll recite the translation for you too. When the sunlight is rolled up, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. When the sunlight is rolled up, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. And when the stars shall fall off, when the stars shall fall off, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. And when the mountains are made to move, mean to be crushed into tiny pieces, that is. And then he continued to recite these verses of the Quran. And he continued up until وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. And when the balance sheets of deeds are opened. Allahu Akbar. Now, firstly, just whilst I'm reading this, I think, wow. And then, my dear viewers, whilst you'll be listening to the thing, you'll think, wow. But remember, a time will come when such things shall take place. The sun, the stars, everything. Allahu Akbar. The mountains even shall be turned to dust. Turned to dust. One day our book of deeds shall be opened. One day our book of deeds. Well, here it mentions the balance sheets of deeds. When the balance sheets, meaning when the book of deeds, when they are opened and when we will be made to read them. Now the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, my dear viewers, the wording itself is beautiful. If you are to hear it and to listen to this ayat, to listen to this chapter, really, go away. Not right now, after. Listen to this chapter of the Quran. So beautiful. Honestly, so, so beautiful. Alhamdulillah. That is a miracle of the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. This is the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, my dear viewers. And then the meaning of it too, it really gets a person thinking that this world was created. Remember, this world is changing, isn't it? That thing which changes is created. And that thing which is created also must one day come to an end. So this world will one day also come to an end. Everything is a law of thermodynamics. Everything tends towards chaos. And this is with everything. What is it that lasts long term? Is there anything that ever lasts? Whether it be from food, which runs out of day for everything. Or whether it be this very cup which is here. 100 years down the line, what will become of this? If you've seen something which is very old, what's the state of that thing? Everything tends towards chaos. This world too will one day turn to meaning, will one day be diminished, will one day come to an end. So it gets a person thinking, Allahu Akbar. This is what shall happen, that sun which is shining so bright, it is a star. We've heard of stars as novas or supernovas. When a star bursts, there's the stars too, my dear viewers. There's the mountains. Allahu Akbar. Remember, the earth is going to one day come to an end. And what are the pegs of the earth? Even that's within the Quran, another miracle of the Quran, where we have been told within the Quran that the jibala awtada, these jibal, they are pegs within the glorious Quran, we have been told. And scientists now understand that, you know, if we were not to have such mountains, this earth won't be able to exist without them. Why? Because it keeps everything intact, it keeps it together. So my dear viewers, you know, it's beautiful. And then when these crush, then that means the earth has gone too. And this is what it states within the glorious Quran. And وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُجِّرَتْ. And when the mountains are made to move, when they are crushed, and one day we will be made to open our book. Our book of deeds, that is, all the actions we have performed throughout our life. Now this person, he heard this. When this was recited, there's one thing we must remember about the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem is not a book of poetry. There's many things we must understand about the Quran. And amongst them is that it is not a book of poetry, no. It is not a book of poetry. The Quran Al-Kareem has many things. It has ahkam within it. As we have seen, even stories within it, etc. It's not like any other book, my dear, and it's not a book of poetry. But the rhetoric of the glorious Quran, the eloquence of the glorious Quran is just completely unmatched and is so beautiful. It's so beautiful just within the wording itself, the harsh, the strong letters which are being used denotes upon the meaning of the word too. It denotes that there are some letters which are pronounced strongly. For example, the letters such as qaf, the letters such as dal, وَإِذَا النُّجُومَ قَدَرَتْ, you know, and these denote upon what? Denote upon something being destroyed. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُجِّرَتْ, the mountains being destroyed, the shams, the sun, or the sunlight, as it's here, being rolled up, the stars falling off. Allahu Akbar, we find this within the glorious Quran. It's honestly so, so beautiful. But then that person, upon having heard this immediately, he states to that slave girl, I free you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, get rid of this wine. They were drinking wine, alcohol too. He says, get rid of this alcohol. Break that musical instrument. One thing to note, one very, very important thing. Musical instrument. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent to rid of, to destroy musical instruments. Remember, music is haram in Islam. And sadly, this is something which has become very, very problematic, because people are trying to use this in our deen too. So this is what's happening. We are becoming, you know, in this 21st century, we think we are becoming, we are developing, or we think we are advancing. We think we are becoming more advanced. So everything we've tried to modernize in some way. So, and there's many things in which this takes place. Even with the glorious Quran Sharif itself, my dear viewers, or the Nashi poetries, etc. So people will recite a Naat and they'll add music behind it. And they'll say, this is a Naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's fine now. No, this is still wrong, it's still prohibited. And this makes it even worse. Yes, this was some of the scholars have stated. This makes it even worse. You're praising, you're mentioning the name of Allah, the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you've also got music in the background which has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is prohibited, this is even worse. But sadly nowadays, and honestly, alhamdulillah, we are very, very fortunate to have Dawud Islami, very, very fortunate to have Madani channel. But in nearly every other channel possibly, there is music being played, whether that be advertisements, whether even in Islamic programs, and there's music in the background. People have added it to Nas, have added it to everything and everywhere. It is not permissible. It is not allowed. We are not allowed to have music, musical instruments, any of them. We're not, yes, there's exception of the, that's a separate matter, not for everybody too. That's limited to some. But generally, musical instruments, my dear viewers, we are not allowed at all. And, you know, this is what this person immediately does. He disposes of the wine and he breaks the musical instrument. And then he says that he calls the Sufi, the saint, he calls him closer. And he says that, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my repentance? I have drunk alcohol. I've been drinking wine. I've been listening to music. I've been doing all this wrong. What will be of me? He's heard the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, those verses. He's become terrified, afraid. Ooh, this is what shall take place. This is what I have done. Remember, the Quran is a book of guidance. And this is true guidance. It wasn't just, prohibitions. It's not complete with prohibitions, no. It's not, okay, you've done this wrong. You're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. But it's a source of guidance, isn't it? So when you require guidance, again, you could turn to the Quran. So this person, what does he do? He asks that person, that, okay, I've done this wrong now, you know, what can I do? Will I ever be forgiven? And then He mentions that indeed Allah loves those who repent abundantly and He loves those who purify themselves. So what has this person done? This person has in fact repented. The first step to repentance is what? Understanding, acknowledging the sin and feeling remorse for it. He acknowledged that this was wrong. He destroyed it. He stopped it. He spilled the wine or did whatever he did. And then what? He felt bad. He felt that sense of remorse. He felt that sense of remorse and he says, that, you know, is there? And then he turned towards this person and says, is there any chance of forgiveness for me? And again, the Quran al-Kareem is a source of guidance. And within the Quran, you are told that, okay, a person, he makes sins. But then, when a person repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who repent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. Allahu Akbar. And if you use the Madani channel, this is the effect of the Al-Quran al-Kareem upon this one person. And yes, the Al-Quran al-Kareem, it affects us all. It affects us all in different ways. It affects us all in various ways. But remember, we can always turn to the Al-Quran al-Kareem as a source of guidance. Now there's something that's very, very important, maybe a question which some people may have. Let's go to the daily hadith sharif, then inshallah I shall speak a little about that. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The companion Abu Basra Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, "This salah of Asr was presented to the people preceding you, yet they wasted it. Whoever offers it consistently will be given double reward." Now, what does this hadith mean? Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes in the commentary of this, "Asr prayer was also obligatory upon previous nations. Yet they abandoned it and became worthy of punishment. You should take heed from them." Reasons behind Asr bearing twice the reward is because the first reward that accompanies Asr comes with being steadfast in performing it and opposing the actions of previous nations. The second reward will be granted for offering Asr Salah itself, as is granted for offering other salah. The first reward will be granted for showing consistency in acts of worship. The second will be granted for showing contentment with what has been once granted and leaving all forms of buying and selling. The latter is mentioned as people are usually involved in business at this time and are not taking heed of the salah. The first reward will be granted for the excellence of Asr, as it is the middle salah. The second will be granted for steadfastness in performing it. Dear viewers of Madani channel, so many countless blessings of Asr salah. Why not we make it upon ourselves that we ourselves and with others go to congregation salah of Asr and perform it? And what will happen because of that? The rewards are in front of you. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, my dear viewers of Madani channel, there's something very, very important we must understand about the Al-Quran al-Kareem. The Al-Quran al-Kareem is a book of guidance, yes. But, firstly, there's a reading the Quran. That's another topic, that's another matter. But then, are we able to interpret the Quran by ourselves? No, of course not. How will everybody, people with different understandings, be able to construe the Al-Quran al-Kareem in the correct and proper way and manner? One thing. Secondly, the Al-Quran al-Kareem was not sent to everybody. The Al-Quran al-Kareem was sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this holds a very, very important, a great significance within this. What is this? that the Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught the people about the Quran. Yes, literally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach the Quran, the meanings of the Quran, the interpretation of the Quran al-Kareem. It wasn't sent to us. It's not for us to be able to interpret. It's not for us to be able to do whatever we wish. من قال في القرآن برأيه فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. That person who speaks about the glorious Quran from his own opinion, that is, from his own by his own wishes and desires, then such a person can choose his own abode in the fire of hell. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We cannot ourselves think, oh yes, I say we're going to get the Quran, and that's it. We are going to interpret the Quran as we wish, as we see fit. Then everybody can do it in accordance to themselves. You know, we've seen any text could be misconstrued. Any text could be misinterpreted. You know, just when people wish to cherry pick things, take things completely out of context. No, this is why the Quran was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam learnt themselves from Rasulullah. Who's greater than the companions? Who's greater than the companions? Of course, after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is the prophets of Allah, then the companions. And then who's greater? Nobody. The companions, they always turn towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught the Al-Quran al-Kareem. And yes, there is everything within the Quran, but it doesn't mean that everybody can attain it. So remember, they were able to extract such rulings. It doesn't mean that anybody is able to do these. Yes, the Quran is a source of guidance. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must understand. It doesn't mean we could just take any verse of this Quran. It doesn't mean we could just cherry pick something from the Quran. This will become problematic because we can also be misguided in this way too. So please do remember this. It doesn't mean we could just pick up the Quran al-Kareem alone. No. Along with it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. And the Quran has been maintained, as well as the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have all been maintained. They have all been preserved. We find within our books, we find the Ahadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find the life, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then those who are specialists in this day and age, it doesn't mean they could. Remember, even scholars of this day and age, they cannot just disregard what previous scholars, they cannot just turn to the Quran and disregard everything else. No. It has to be in light of first Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the teaching, the Ahadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which previous ulama have mentioned, previous scholars, in light of those they give us rulings. They don't just make things up. So how can we normal people, this is, you know, the great scholars, the jurists, how can us normal people just open the Quran and try to interpret it as we see fit? No, and sadly, many people, especially this day and age, you know, and previously too, no doubt, all of these fitnas we're having now, nearly all of them we've had, you know, previously. But what are people doing? They're taking the Quran and saying, oh yes, this is permitted in the Quran, look, there's this. And they come up with sweeping, ridiculous, really sad and ridiculous beliefs and ideologies is what they come up with, which is completely wrong and false. Yes, the Quran is a source of guidance. In fact, there's a hadith here, it's mentioned, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu al-Kareem, he narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a tribulation will soon arise. Hazrat Ali, he asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will be the way to stay safe from this tribulation? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a fitna will appear. A fitna will come. Hazrat Ali says, how can we save ourselves from this fitna? How can we be safe from this fitna? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies and states, that the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it contains the news of your future and your past generations, and the judgments of your mutual dealings. The Quran is conclusive. Remember, it is conclusive. It is not incomplete, no. The Quran al-Kareem is conclusive. And this is not false. The unjust person who leaves it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy him. The unjust person who leaves it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy him. And the one who seeks guidance in other than it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will misguide him. The Quran al-Kareem. And where are we hearing this from? The Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran al-Kareem was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we understand this from the Quran al-Kareem, the Sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then states, it is a strong rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His wise remembrance. It is the straight path. The Quran is the book by virtue of which desires do not become spoiled. Other languages combined together cannot make it doubtful, from which Islamic scholars are not negligent, which does not become old if recited repeatedly. Any other book, no matter how many times you read it, there's only a specific amount, the number of times you can read that book. When it comes to the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allahu Akbar, you can read it and read it and read it, and the more you read it, the more you love it. The more you'll read it, the more you'll want to read it even further. Allahu Akbar. And then when you distance yourself from the Quran, you feel that distance. You feel saddened. This is Al-Quran Al-Kareem. It never becomes old if recited repeatedly. Allahu Akbar. Whose wonders do not come to an end. Allah, the wonders of the Al-Quran Al-Kareem do not come to an end. The Quran is the book that when jinns heard it, they could not help but say that we have heard the wondrous Quran which guides towards goodness, so we have placed our faith in it. And that's from the verse of the Quran. The one who accepts the Quran is truthful. The one who acts upon it will attain reward. The one who makes decisions in accordance to it will be the one who does justice. And the one who calls towards it, then certainly he has called towards the straight path. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, this is the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. This hadith sharif is honestly so beautiful that yes, there shall be fitnas which will arise. But Allahu Akbar. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem, my dear viewers, is a source of guidance. Whatever our situation, we can all... And there's many different ways of guidance, isn't there? One is spiritual, peace of heart. Read the Quran, regularly open the Quran, read the Quran. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability to read the Quran Al-Kareem. And remember that many people have not been reading it for a very long time and they would not be able to read it properly. I remember I saw one brother reading it yesterday, possibly after years, he opened the Quran and he read it. And he was asking me words like, what does this word say? Ghaib. And I was like, wow, this person is what, 30 years plus years old and is not able to read a simple word like that. And it, to be honest, it's shocking, but it's good. At least he's trying now. It's never too late. As long as you try, try now. And, you know, slowly you'll get there. So you learn, for example, that word ghaib. Okay, you know, I found it a little hard to recite that word, but that's fine. I know it now. So the next time that comes, okay, now the word ghaib, I know that word. Now I know that word. So next time it's become easier for me, hasn't it? And we can do this. And when we regularly read the Quran, remember the Quran is a book, but meaning it's in another language. It's in the Arabic language. And what's with every language? A language is composed of words. In the English language, how often do you read a new word? Rarely. But this, all the words are repeated and repeated and repeated. It's somewhere which is written before. It's not that somebody's making up their own words. There's a new word and there's... No. The Quran al-Kareem is a book in the Arabic language, which is composed of Arabic words. And when you come across this word, okay, you've read it once, now you'll find that most likely you'll find it again many times. So then the next time you come across, it'll be easy for you to read now. Please begin your practice, begin reading the Al-Quran Al-Kareem from now, inshallah, from today. You'll find such peace and tranquility within the glorious Quran, which cannot be matched. It truly cannot be matched by anything, by reading anything. Reading it yourself, nothing can match this, my dear viewers. Please, inshallah, the Quran is a book of guidance for those that maybe have not embraced the religion of Islam. I invite them to learn about the religion of Islam. Honestly, it's so beautiful. Alhamdulillah, the Quran is a miracle within itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the ability to act upon what I have spoken about, to be able to regularly recite the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, that's all for today. Rise and shine. But tomorrow, please do join us. Continue to recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine.